and welcome to the TMT Podcast. This is your host, David. With me, as always, is my fellow host, Jamie.
Well done, Jamie.
Well done. And this is episode 7. I don't remember if I said that, but fall is in season. And yet another major release has happened on the PS4. I think it's PS4 only.
Yeah. The one that everyone's happy about. The Japanese
Persona
one.
5, yeah, the newest RPG by Atlas. And I've heard good things about it, but I've also heard there's already a bit of frustration about it because Atlas wants to get mad at people who stream too much into it.
Yeah, I heard.
But you know, if you've bought the game, I mean, I feel like it's just publicity, right? I mean, the thing about Atlas games is they're open choice. There are a lot of choices you can make. So I don't see how that would hurt them necessarily. Because they might think, like, oh, that's cool. Well, I know what I would want to do instead. Because they also have romance options. Everyone knows you got to have those.
Well, I feel like in this day and age, video game companies by now should be aware that this is a generation. This is a trend that people do. You know, gameplay, let's plays, that kind of thing. So I don't get why certain game companies still, like, have such a problem.
I mean, I can see why Nintendo does, because they've had some stuff happen to them in the past regarding their, their properties. That's what I'm thinking of.
I mean, I suppose, but, like, in Nintendo's way, you've got them getting on about people playing their games and streaming and stuff like that. And at the same time, they're trying to push for Splatoon to be an esports game.
Well, I think that's actually a sign they're starting to move in the right direction, as opposed to what they were doing before.
It's kind of conflicting. I mean, hopefully they've... I mean, I have been seeing a lot of people playing Zelda online. Which, Breath of the Wild is a great game for people to play. Well, it's a great game for people to play, like, gameplay, like, let's plays, that kind of thing. Because everyone has completely different styles of play.
I'm getting distracted.
I'm currently watching three different Let's Play series on Breath of the Wild. And occasionally you're learning things from people who are, like, further back in the game than I am.
Yeah, I found out you can deflect Guardian beams the other day. With that clip, that clip I sent you. It was in the comments in there.
The car on the horse was mental.
That was the greatest single. Like, I am the. That's like Link in real life. Just an utter bamf. He rolls up and you die.
Yeah. I can't even. Like, I've watched the video a few times. I can't even figure out what he does. He charges at the guard.
Well, he hits it in the eye and stuns
it. Which causes it to start. It kind of flips a bit. Because then he starts hitting it. It's like spins out of control. And he's just going mental.
He sprints at it. And then he just starts hitting it and cutting his limbs off. And that kills it.
And I'm assuming he had a guardian.
Yeah, weapon. He did. He did. I watched it closely to find out.
Sword.
He did.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, is that the Master Sword? But then I looked at his hearts and I realized there's no way he could have had the Master Sword.
I recently just found out, that's what I've been doing in games. I was about to do Gerudo and I was like, you know what? I wonder, when do I get the Master Sword? And then I found out, by the way, Master Sword's completely optional. I was like, screw that. Guess who's going to go get it now?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think, because I did 3 Divine Beasts, and then I went and found the Master Sword. I wonder if I'd done all 4 Divine Beasts, if I had then been told where the Master Sword is, if I hadn't
no,
really
you,
found
No, you
it.
Can go through the entire game without getting the Master Sword. It's not necessary.
Well, and they don't even, like, just say...
Nope,
it's
only where you want to go find it.
Right. Because The only mention of the Master Sword is occasionally characters will just be like, you look like that guy.
Yeah, well, that's why... That's,
he had an amazing
that's
sword.
Why I want to go get the sword. Is because then... They'll be like, look, I got it. What's up, mother effers? Because I've done the Zora, and they're the only ones I've done. By the way, since it's been out long enough, I want to talk about the best character in Breath of the Wilds, Prince Zion.
What's the... The red fish guy.
The Prince of the Zoras, yes.
Yeah. Everyone loves him. He's got a great smile.
He's just awesome. Like, you roll into town and everyone hates you. except for that guy who's just down. He's just down to help you out. He's nonstop optimistic cheer, and he's got that great smile that twinkles every time he does it. It makes it. It does like that anime gleam, ding.
It's like he does it, and then like the camera kind of zooms in on it, and then it does the gleam. Like it's very over the top, like the way it shows it.
He's like the upbeat anime friend, and it works so well. He even has his own fan club, and after you beat the Divine Beast, his fan club still says like, "Yeah, you're pretty good, but you know Prince Zion." It's like that's how dope this dude is. I mean, if I had to pick a guy,
it'd be a fish. That fish is my fish. See, I like a lot of the characters. Like they've all got interesting because what he is what he's one of the four new champion people.
I don't know about that. I've only done the one.
Well, I mean, he's the one who helps you fight the Divine Beast.
He helps you fight a Divine Beast. If that's what you mean, then we'll just stick with that.
Yeah.
You're farther than I am. Be careful there.
I'll be careful. Because there's like a series of characters like him. There's a character for each Divine Beast like
just
him.
Just like someone who's like his new BFF.
Someone who helps you with that particular
In that case, the game's all downhill for me because no one's ever going to top Prince Zion.
I don't know about that because they've all completely different styled missions. I'm not going to go into details because you've only done the first.
And round. I'm just going to get the Master Sword before I do any others. Getting the Master Sword, by the way, to do that you have to have at least 11 hearts. And then you'll be able to get... 12. No, it's 11. You have to have a minimum of 11, I thought.
You need to have 11 hearts to lose and then one to remain.
Like, so I probably would have died then if I had done it, because that's not how I had been taught. That's not what I read.
Yeah, well, it was kind of weird, because I counted it the first time I did it. I had 11 hearts dead on, and then like he died, and it was like right on the edge. It's like it uses up 11 hearts to put it out.
So I need 12 total.
So you need 11 hearts to spare, is the term,
basically. Okay, well, now I know.
But yeah, I loved finding that because I did that completely by accident. I was in the middle of the snow and then I went flying and there was this place full of fog and it wouldn't let me in. So I walked around until I found the entrance.
Now it's Lost Woods. Did it have the music?
And, you know, the Lost Woods. It had a very distinct tone to it. I wouldn't recognize it because I don't remember the older Zelda games. Honestly, I've never played a Zelda game as much as I've played this one. But it had the whole thing, like, you're darting between the fog. If you go too far, you get pushed
back. Have to find the right path.
Yeah. But then I just got there. First off, I saw the little guys with the suits.
Koroks.
So I was, like, really excited, because I was like, I could upgrade my inventory. And then suddenly I was like... So, like, I was Link. Link was walking. He was like, I can't wait to upgrade my inventory. Oh, that's the Master Sword.
I can't wait to upgrade my inventory. Oh, look, Master Sword.
So I wrapped the Master Sword, and then the great Dooku tree's talking to me.
Deku.
I was like, Deku, sorry.
I mean, I already got proven wrong on Saiyan Hylian. Don't make me wrong about the other one as well.
Is that good?
It's pronounced Hylian, not Hylian. I've always said Hylian since Ocarina of Time. Nope, it's Hylian.
Yep. I love that. I love that there's now voice acting in the game to create your some of the words.
And you know what? Link doesn't talk, so I'm cool.
Link doesn't talk, but he's still got quite an expression with the amount of noises he has.
Yes, he does.
Like, he has more than the default noises that he normally had.
What do you mean?
I heard him do a scream.
He just grunts and yells. That's all he does.
No, I fell down a bottomless pit, and he screamed in, like, the most terrified way possible. Like, he has different kinds of screams.
He's improved how many screams and yells he has. Okay. But it still just screams and yells. I mean, that's what he does.
So where you're at in the game, you've probably heard like maybe four characters speak.
No, I've heard more than that.
I don't know. Alright, who have you... Okay, who have you heard?
Shit, I can't remember.
You would have heard the king, and you would have heard Impa, right?
Yeah, you hear each of the leaders talk as well. You hear Frit and Zion talk. You hear the Zora lady talk. Zion's sister, I can't remember her name. The one who was gonna... The one who was gonna bone...
The champion. The champion you love, Link. Is she Ruto, or
she's someone different?
I was thinking that. Because the way I've been thinking about it, I've, like... I don't know a lot about Zelda, so I'm never sure if, like, the champions from the past are characters
I'm not sure
games or their new characters
where
too.
In the timeline this fits, actually. Because they talk about, like, all the robot things came from over 10,000 years ago or so, and I don't know when exactly that was supposed to have been.
Yeah. So, like, what characters that you've met so far from actual other Zelda games?
What do you mean?
Like, what characters are characters that have previously appeared in
Zelda?
Zelda,
Epona, that's about it.
I mean, the tree as
well. The Deku tree, yeah.
And isn't that the traveling salesman, a guy from previous
games too? Well, incarnations of him, yeah, I suppose.
So it's that kind of thing, really. Like, it's a new world, new
characters. Yeah, it always is.
Some of them kind of... Like, the four races, if you... I don't know if you've seen all four of them.
Well, it tells you who they are in the main quest.
Okay. So, they're races from old games. They're not...
Yes, the last new race introduced in the game was the Rito. All the others have existed well before then.
What's the Rito? The Rito are the flying ones,
yes.
Right? The bird people. They're quite nice.
And, you know, in Wind Waker, they are... What you call it? In Wind Waker, the Rito were descended from the Zora.
Huh.
Yeah, and now they're different races. They're their own people now.
That's cool. So is there five distinct races, or is there like...
Let me see. There's the ones I can name off the top of my head. You have the Gorons and the Zora, which are some of the classics. You have the Kokiri, who are basically the Koroks.
Oh yeah, the tree people, the little trees, right?
And the Koroks are the Kokiri.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure why they turned into tree people, as opposed to looking like kids for the rest of their lives, but they did.
Yeah. There's the race that are all women.
The Gerudo. So that's four. There's the Rito.
And then that's five.
Can't remember who else I'm thinking of.
There's normal Hylians or normal human.
The Hylians count as a people, as a race. So that's six.
So that's
there's
six.
Human Hylian. There's the Sabrosians, which were, they're people, so that's seven. They were in seasons.
Ah.
Trying to think of...
It's very diverse.
It is. You have what are they called? The Deku Sprout Shrubs. They were in Majora's Mask. They're not, so they don't, they're people, but they don't have a kingdom in Hyrule. The Sheikah are technically, well, they're a different nation people. I don't think they count as a different people totally.
What are the Red Ninja people?
Those are traitors to the Sheikahs. They're bitches.
Okay, so they're... Yeah. They were fun. They're very annoying.
Really?
Like, you'll see... Well, you sometimes encounter them just in the game. You'll see, like, a woman crying. You'll go up to them, and then you're like, now I'm going to kill you. Like,
well...
Fuck you now. And then you have to fight...
Here's the thing. I'm all... One... I can just, like... I have, like, a good instinctive sense of, oh, you're a motherfucker. I'm going to beat you. And then... True, I always whoop their butt. I kick ass.
Sometimes
I kick so much of their four shaven butts.
Yeah, But sometimes it's just like they're on their own, they're just crying in the field, so you kind of can tell that's something off of it. But sometimes they'll be being attacked by a monster. You'll kill the monster, and then you'll turn to them to talk to them, because they might give you a reward. And then suddenly they're like, I'm going to kill you now. I'm like, fucking hell.
Yeah, I don't have that problem. I still just kick rude. The crap out of them.
Also, if you get closer to the castle, there's a stronger version of those guys.
Also kick them up. By the way, you can get the Hylian shield.
What, yeah, in-game?
It's indestructible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sweet. Where'd you find that?
There's like some passageway under the castle to get it. Okay. But yeah, so you can get invulnerable shield and the master sword, and just, and also if you get all the what you call it, if you get all the the shrines, if you get all 125 of them, you get Link's green tunic.
Oh, so you get the proper one,
right? Oh. You know, if you haven't earned it by constantly playing with amiibos. Yeah. Hashtag not guilty.
I've got to say the amiibo function, I've said this before, is probably one of the best.
I enjoy it. Yes.
Uses of amiibos.
I get a lot of food from it.
I'm assuming you got your
Pony. Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. Bay horse? Absolutely.
Apparently, according to rumors and stuff, apparently there's a super strong horse.
Yeah.
That you can ride, but you can't.
It only lasts for the night. It's like the horse god. And actually, I heard, apparently that horse is meant to be a, it's in honor of, why can't I remember his name? Satoru Iwata.
The Nintendo guy who passed away a couple years ago?
Iwata. It's in honor of him. And that's why you can't tame it, is because he's a free spirit.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought so.
Have you interacted with the giant dragon yet?
Nope. I haven't gotten close enough to him again.
I recently got very close to him, and I started trying to chase him down. But it was nighttime, so skeletons kept stuck getting in my way, and I just lost
him. I found out what happens with him, though.
So did I. That's what I was going to go into. But you can get, like, dragon scales and stuff from him. The stuff used to upgrade your clothes and stuff, right? Or is there other functions?
Probably for some weapons as well.
Probably, yeah. I know as well you can find something called star fragments.
Oh, like, meteors?
If you ever look around at night or during the day and you see like a weird glow coming from like a certain place, if you go there you'll get a star fragment. And you could upgrade certain clothes and stuff. There's really cool things like that in the game.
It's just got so much in it. I mean, if that game had achievements, I'd be playing for 100%. No doubt.
God, could you imagine some of the achievements in that game?
Oh yeah, that'd be crazy. But worth it.
I bet there'd be like achievements to kill one of every creature in the game. Maybe all like all the different mini bosses that show up. So any guy that gets a health bar above on the top of the screen. I was once just running through a field and one of those health bars popped up. So I was just like, "Is there something I need to kill?" I turned around, a giant rock.
I had that happen once. I turned around, I went somewhere. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go here. I'm gonna get a tower." I land after paragliding. Immediate boss. Immediate mini boss is like, well, okay, bring it on, mother effer. I got a sledgehammer with your name on it.
Yeah. The only creatures I've encountered like that are the rock guys, the giant fat guys, and the horse people.
The horse guys are a pain in the butt.
They're
I can't
worst.
Wait till I can just like plow through them, but at the moment, they eat me. Every time.
I know that it's just impossible to deal with.
The only way to beat them is you have to do the flurry attacks and dodge. But if you mess up you're screwed. And their arrows do so much damage.
But deep down, I just want to kill it to find out what stuff it drops.
I've killed one. And it drops... The bow it drops is pretty powerful. it turns one arrow into three. Their sword is pretty strong. It's okay. It's not the strongest weapon I've found, but it's strong, you know. It you can still use a shield while you use it. And they drop, obviously, lino parts, which are pretty valuable, hopefully. They're like,
okay, cool.
Next to Guardians, they're the strongest standard enemy you can fight in the game. Like, there's bosses, there's mini-bosses. Those are their own category. And then the Guardians are probably the strongest enemy you can fight in the game. And then you have those Lynels.
Would you describe them as side bosses? Like things that you could fight but don't...
No, that's what I'd call a mini-boss.
Okay.
Guardians are just other enemies without throwing the game. And I've gotten really good at beating them because I have like 20 ancient arrows I just keep on hand.
Oh, did you go meet Robbie?
I just have 20 ancient arrows.
So you went to go meet Robbie and he did his whole, I don't recognize you, take off your clothes.
Yeah.
Fucking weirdo.
I wonder if there's a YouTube clip somewhere of someone who did that and didn't approach you with any clothes on.
Yeah, and he just did it fine the first time. I wonder if you, the first time you approach him, if you have the Master Sword, I wonder if he just accepts who you are immediately.
Yeah, well, that's why I want to get the Master Sword, to see if I can go to, like, these other three divine the other three groups and be like, hey, check it out, I got the Master Sword, I'm Link.
Well, I kind of did that. I did three, did the Master Sword, did the fourth one, and the guy basically went through the whole story, like, he goes, there's the legend of a guy who had the sword. Oh, you've got that sword. That's kind of all he does.
I know, but also it's the Master Sword. I have to have it.
Yep.
If I don't, I've failed as a Legend of Zelda player.
Yep. See, what I feel like I need to do now is I've done the Divine Beast, and like my next mission is just go to the castle. But I feel like I need to do everything else first. Because I think there's like a... I think if you do it that way, that's like the proper way to do it, and you probably get a better ending.
I don't think the ending will change, it's just then you have to do all that stuff afterward. I do want to go through all the shrines as best as I can, though.
I feel like if you unlock all Link's memories beforehand, he knows Sank. There's going
to
be Sank.
Oh, I'm so close to having that done. I've only got like one or two left.
I only recently realized that there's that painter guy, and if you talk to him, he'll tell you about which one's the nearest one to you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And kind of point you in the right direction.
But I was looking through the ones I don't have yet, and I realized, hey, I could find all these places, especially now that I've got the map unlocked. I know where these spots are.
Dude, some of those little cutscenes are like the most heartbreaking bits of animation ever.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into the story of that, because that's obviously really deep spoiler heavy. And I've completed them all either. But I do want to ask you...
That's effectively the story of the game.
I do want to ask you, watching those, have you seen the cutscene I was talking about before? About Zelda and the frog?
I have not found that one yet.
When you do, like, Twitter me or something, because that one's... It's pretty effing funny. I went... After you told me I can rewatch those, I went back and I rewatched it. It's funny. Best humor ever.
I found the one that's like right in front of the castle, kind of, in those kind of ruins, and it's like Zelda, Link, and the four champions.
Well, I don't have that one yet, so I'm not gonna...
It's kind of just like a little, like, establishing how close those kind of characters are to each other.
Well, don't tell it. We'll try and keep spoilers out of it, remember?
I haven't seen it in ages, so I don't remember past that.
Well, just stop. You're going to do it again.
Okay.
It's like you're fit. It's like you just can't help yourself.
Okay, I'm not. Well, going back a bit, quite a bit. When I'm not playing the game myself, I'm taking the Switch because. Going back, just talk about the Switch itself. Yes. The Switch is a really easy console to move.
Yes.
Like, I could take it apart and take it to my friend's house and she could play the game. To which she's really hooked on.
Who wouldn't be?
I've maybe taken it to her house twice. The first time we played for 2 hours, second time we played for about five. And she's done quite well. Like, she's moved ahead quite far.
You're never getting it back.
But going to that bit where, like, you speak to the old man and he reveals himself to be the king, which sounds like a spoiler, but it's so early on in the game, considering. I wouldn't really say it is anymore. But, like, and then the first time he, like, starts talking to you and he talks about everything and he goes through, like, it all, and then he just, like, and you get this moment where he's just like, well, and now my purpose is gone and I'm just dead.
Now I'm gonna die.
Like,
you whore. Look what you did.
Like, the amount of characters in this game who are, like, spirits and just accept that they're dead is really kind of heartbreaking. Like, characters are just
go. Dude, you need to play some Dark Souls. Or Bloodborne.
That, I knew you'd find a way of trying to get me to play.
I must be heartless then, because you say heartbreaking, I'm just like, oh, well, yeah, I guess that sucks. Oh, well.
I mean, it sucks for the king when he's like, giving you up, and the last thing he's kind of saying is, please save my daughter.
Eh, I'm good. I'm not bothered.
My daughter that I will never see again.
Yeah, whatever.
I do love that my favorite thing about that whole old man is just the way, like, he keeps just, like, coming out of nowhere. Like, he just, like, four times he just, like, parachutes out of nowhere. Like, they don't even try and hide it or make it seem like he's coming, like, he's normal. And then the last time he's just like, yeah, fuck it, and just fades away. Yeah.
And the parachute thing was pissing me off while he kept teleporting in. Because it's like, dude, that's the very thing I'm trying to get. You're taunting me with it. I'm going to beat your butt for that.
My favorite one is when you're on the snow bit, and like, because you kind of up on like a mountain, and he just parachutes in, and it's like, it's just clear sky. Like, where the hell did he come from?
He got a ladder. He had to impress.
He had like a javelin. He would just he had like a pole vault stick.
Oh, I know what happened. Just he threw himself off.
He's friends with the dragon.
No, I was going to say, like, he, oh shoot, what was I going to say? Crap. I had a plan. He shot himself out of a cannon. That's what I wanted to say.
Maybe so. He's a crazy old man.
He's a crazy old man. And he's gotta go on. Cause he's dying now.
He's also really huge for some reason. Why was he so big?
What do you mean?
Like, even as, like, an adult, like, when you meet adult characters later in the game, and they're not that much bigger to Link, really. But he was just, like, full grown men, kind of. He was, like,
when you're a king, you can afford to eat well.
Actually, going back, the king of the fish people is also quite big, so maybe that's the thing.
Well, Zora lived absurdly long time, so that's probably why that.
Yeah. So I know they redesigned the Zora people. I don't know if that's specifically for this game. But I love the new way they look.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Because there's that one guy and he's like, his head's like a manta ray. And he's got, it's so kind of weird. They're all different, like, fish looking people.
Yeah, mostly sharks. Fishes.
Yeah. And then you got the prince just smiling at you every 2 seconds. It's
great. Hi, look, it's me, Prince Sion. Your new BFF. I'm like Garrus, but cooler.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm not going to say for some reason, because I totally understand why people love that character so much, but it's just like, it's so weird that, like, the first day the game came out and so many people made it to that point in the game at the same time, and everyone was like, this is my new favorite character. It's all different people. Like, unconnected, there's no, like, communication, it's just everyone decided this is their favorite character immediately.
That's because, that's a sign of a good written character. Everyone just naturally loves him.
Yeah. And honestly, I'll say every major character I've met so far, they've had, like, a little quirk or a little, like, I don't know if it's something to do with their voice or something like that, but I enjoy
it. They have great personality, yes.
They really do. Everyone, yeah, every major voice acted character is really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's just well done. That's all it comes down to.
It's a really well done game. And it's...
And it can be yours for the low price of $60, provided you already have a Nintendo Switch. Yeah. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Nintendo. Please don't stream our games. It makes us nervous.
Please. Yep. But speaking of the Switch, a couple of weeks away from Mario Kart, probably the next, probably the second big release on the Nintendo Switch. You're going
to
be getting
probably
that?
Yeah, so I can play with people. Then I'll have more than one reason to get a get more than one controller.
Yep. Well, by default, you already have two controllers.
Yeah, but I want, you know what I mean. I have two controllers for some games. I don't think every game is going to support the thing like that.
I know Mario Kart does, because that was part of the big thing.
Well, I still want two more than so I can have four people play.
Yeah. Also because the little Joy-Cons, while useful as their own controller, are still pretty annoying to, like, hold.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I remember, like, I don't know, way over during the first Nintendo Switch reveal, they were showing multiple ways that people were playing the game. And one of them was where, like, the Nintendo Switch itself was in, like, a car. It was, like, in the back of a... There were two people in the back of a car, and they put the Switch in, like, the headrest. Like, it was in, like, a little holder on the back of the headrest. Holding up. And then there were two of them using the Joy-Cons to play Mario Kart. And for me, that was a really... I was like, that's a pretty fun way to
play. I think the coolest thing for me was seeing people play with it on airplanes. I was like, hey, yeah, you want a console you can bring with you? Wish you could have your Xbox or something? Guess what? The Switch can do it. For me, that was just a moment of, oh, wow, that is really effing useful. Because sometimes you don't have a choice, and you got to go, you just got to do things. But guess what can come with you?
Into the Switch.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
But yeah, just the... If it's like that, you have the guy who puts it down, he pulls out the little thing, puts it down, gets the Joy-Cons, and he plugs a pair of headphones in so he can hear the sound. That's awesome. That's just like, that's the perfect example of something. Like, that's watching something in a trailer and thinking, yeah, I can actually see myself doing
that. Yeah, it is.
Because there's times in trailers where you see people doing things, like, and it's all like, you know, like, amped up a bit, and so a bit over the top, you're like, yeah, okay, I guess that you could do that, but I wouldn't do
I guess this works, but why would I do it? And then you see it on the plane, but that's something you totally do, not because you want to go on a plane ride every day, but because you got to get stuff done.
Yeah, but even all of it, like, because they show the guy in the airport, too, and he, like, sits down, he plugs it in to charge it. It's like, that's pretty awesome, too, that you could just charge it and then use it on the plane. But then, and then you see the bit where he gets to the hotel room, and it just happens to have a dock there.
Nah, like, his boyfriend went in and set up for him earlier, or girlfriend. That made me think. You know how people usually mention his wife or husband. You know, just being fair. Do you think gay guys say the opposite, or they'd actually say boy first and or girl?
Oh, what, when speaking to another person? So if a gay person approached a man and they didn't know...
Yeah, or they're just like talking, like when you talk in hypotheticals. Do they lead off with boy and then go into girl, or do they go with girl like everyone else and then lead off in the boy?
I don't know, that'd be a very interesting question to ask.
I mean, it doesn't matter, but I'm curious.
I wonder if it assumes... I wonder if it depends on the environment. Like, I wonder if there's certain places where gay people feel like they're more likely to bump into other gay people.
Gay bars?
Well, yeah. If they're in a male strip club, I think he's going to go, hey, how's the wife? It's just like...
The straight guy works behind the counter.
Yeah. Just shirt off, like, just here in a pair of Speedos serving drinks. It's like, hey, how's your... Have you got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like,
the guy who owns the place is what's-your-face.
I would say... I don't know. Because I always wonder if it's a thing, but I wonder if gay people can actually kind of tell.
What do you mean?
Like, did you always see it in, like, shows and stuff? They always play out the idea of, like, gay people having, like, a sense of when another person's gay.
I thought that was just a guy thing in general.
What, the guys could tell when other guys are gay? You say that, though, but you get some gay guys that are just, like, completely, like...
Oh, I'm not saying all gay guys are feminine. I'm just saying sometimes it's just, like, a sense. You racist.
Yeah. But I feel like maybe it's just that, because, like, I feel like there's some gay people who are quite obviously effeminate, and then there's also the ones that are kind of butch. Or not even that. Like, it's a really weird statement. That's actually a really interesting question that I'd like to ask someone, though.
Yeah.
What do women too, like, would a lesbian immediately assume that, what would a lesbian assume when she meets another woman?
Yeah. Like, it's sort of like, it's also like the question, when I'm on the internet, I just naturally assume everyone I'm talking to is a guy, because I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Is it, but like, women just naturally assume everyone on the internet, so, give them like a female voice, or...
For me, it's always, it's a weird thing, but whatever game I play, it's whatever gender their character is what I imagine they are.
No, I mean, that makes sense. That's how I play Smite. I mean, I refer to a player on screen, I refer to the gender of their character.
Yeah, it's usually because that's the only thing you know. Like, you always make the assumptions based on what you're playing with. Which is weird when I'm playing with Overwatch and I feel like I'm playing with a load of monkeys.
I am the monkeys!
I'm playing with bloody Grodd. But yeah, it's weird as well, because, like, I play Call of Duty. I'll go back in that. I've been playing a bit of Call of Duty with a friend. My friend's a girl.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, congratulations to her on her feminine.
She's a girl. Like, I'm supposed to be, like, it was something, I don't know. It just, the way you phrased it was funny. Like, oh okay.
Well, the only reason I said that is because, like, I need to point out her gender to actually make.
I know, it's just, it was just weird how you said it.
Yeah. It's like I was just, like, looking at it, and it's like, let me just talk to my friend. Who's the girl? Just wink, wink.
That's more or less how I heard it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. But like, I don't assume that anyone else I play Call of Duty with is a girl. Like, I don't assume I'm playing against a girl. And it's the same with GTA. Like, I always assume that I'm just playing with guys, and then guys who like playing as girls. But, you know, it's just... And it is weird, because sometimes I'll get killed by a female character, like, that fucking bitch. But then I'll still assume that it's a man.
And then he says something, and then this deep voice comes out. And you're like, oh my.
I don't know what to think right now.
I am unusually turned on.
Yeah. Yeah. But then even going with that, like, it's almost impossible... On the internet, it's almost impossible to assume what gender a person is based on anything.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally see, like, somebody could have, like, you could go on, like, YouTube, and they could have, like, their little profile picture and name. Their name could just be, like, a female first name and their last name, and the profile picture could be a female. And then it could still be a guy. Could still be someone who considers himself male.
Or it could just be a dude pretending to be a woman.
Yeah. There's just no, It's just everything's a huge helping of confusion now.
Don't worry, built character. Or so I've been told. I'm not quite sure where the character is to be built, but it's there.
Built character just makes you afraid of interacting with humans because you don't know whether or not they're going to identify as a human or as a kitchen.
Attack helicopter?
Yeah. Like, oh, it's lovely to meet another guy here. I wasn't expecting to see ever.
I am an Apache.
And then he just like starts making noises and runs off.
No, no. He starts spinning and he genuinely just takes off and flies away.
He arcs himself down, his arms go back into like propellers and starts spinning.
We're probably offending a lot of people right now.
Especially helicopters. Do you think there's guys who play GTA 5 and someone's attacking them in a helicopter and they're just like, God damn it, this is pissing me off. This is offending me.
No, I don't, but I'll take your word for it.
I honestly don't think there's anyone who actually believes they're a helicopter. Like, there's some I believe, and then there's some where I feel like people are taking it too far. Like, yeah, be expressive, be who you are, be who you feel you are, and everything like that. But don't go over the top and think yours. Like, at the end of the day, there are still limitations to what you can be.
Careful, Jamie, careful. That.
I know, I'm hearing it. I'm imagining the Tumblr post.
Yeah. And as offensive as we were just being probably to trans people, we don't mean trans people, we don't mean it like trans people have limits on what gender they can be, you have to be what you were born as. That's not how we meant it. We were talking about people who believe they're attack helicopters.
I've seen a video before of a 24-year-old woman who likes to pretend that she's a baby.
Okay, yeah. We're not giving advice to people who are genuinely trans. We're giving serious advice to people who are not serious. Is the best way I can think of to say.
So it's like, I have seen this video. It's like a woman. It's like a documentary kind of thing. I don't know what the documentary is called, but I imagine it was something like The Weirdest People Ever. But like, when she's at home, she'll wear like a nappy and like a baby grow kind of thing.
There's a fetish for everything these days.
She'll sit in a giant cot, and she encourages her boyfriend to change her nappy for her.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, maybe it's a fetish thing, but I'm not down for that.
No, she distinctly says multiple times that both her and her boyfriend don't find this sexual. It's just saying she likes to feel herself. Now,
I'm putting that under the weird spot. Under weird. That's going under weird. Abandon conversation. Change topics.
Yep. Now, all I'm going to say is that, like, you need to really reconsider your relationship when one of the things you do as a couple is change each other's soiled clothes. It was also the thing I saw about a woman who married a building.
Huh. I'm not quite...
She married a hotel that she cleaned in.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, why? Yeah. Why?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes people get the option of being a bit more open, a bit more free.
That's not even necessarily open. That's genuinely, why are you doing
this? Insane.
I don't know if I would go all the way to insane, but far beyond what I would call normal. Or as close to normal as we can.
It raises questions.
Lots of questions.
Yeah. I was wondering in those circumstances if the parents of that person ever like think to themselves, they ever just sit back and like go through their photo albums and stuff and like try and pinpoint the moment when that whole
started. When shit happened.
And try and think, what did we do? When was it?
When did my life turn upside down? Shit is whack.
Upside down.
I don't know how.
I also saw this video of a Japanese girl who likes to pretend she's a cat. Which, as weird as it is, it's a bit more common, but it's still a bit weird.
Well, the thing is, compared to everything else you said, and the fact that she's Japanese, I'm not surprised.
I'll be honest, that was probably my first assumption as well. It's like, the fact that she's Japanese makes it a little less
weird. No, it's still weird. It's just a lot less surprising.
That's the weird thing about it. It's like, for some reason, it's like, oh, she's Japanese? Yeah, you can see that. Speaking of, we were talking about Always Sunny in Philadelphia the other week. There's a character in Always Sunny in Philadelphia who likes to be a cat.
Of course.
Yeah. It's kind of fucked up. They have like a whole thing where they're like encouraging her, and the guy should. One guy's just like, "Can we stop encouraging her to be a cat?" And it's like, "What about fur? I can know a person who can do fur." He's like, "She's not getting goddamn fur."
That person needs a medal because they are not paid to put up with all that crap.
It's a funny circumstance. It's one of those things where the first time she appeared, she was a normal person. But the more time she interacted with the
gang, things go on,
like the main characters, she went nuts. Dude, there's a character in the show who in season 2 you meet, and he's a normal priest. He's a Catholic priest. By season 12, he's a homeless guy who gets into dog orgies.
Yeah, that's fucking weird. That deserves to fucking in there. That's weird.
But the guy, but he like constantly says, you know, you're the reason I'm like this. And like, I don't think so. They're like, they totally are. It's really fucked up. They've ruined people's lives and then refuse to accept responsibility of it. Or they just don't believe they're responsible for it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Why don't we go back to video games? I don't like this.
We were talking about Persona 5 for 2 seconds.
Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about Zelda.
How are you getting on with Mass Effect?
Apparently Mass Effect it got a few updates, I suppose, which were I think they were mostly bug updates. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten some updates. Multiplayer mode, I've tried it a bit. It's still a bit, you gotta have a good connection for that. It could use a little bit of work. But otherwise, I still like it.
Okay.
I still like the single player a lot. I mean, other people seem to, it's become the new hobby of shit on Andromeda, but I still like the single player.
I think, honestly, from what I hear more, I do hear more complaints on, like, the technical side than the story side.
Yeah.
Like, from what I see, like, most people is, like, kind of average on the story. Like, it's not groundbreaking.
No, it's not groundbreaking, but it's enjoyable. I got to a twist the other week, and it's like, oh, okay, I want to look more into this, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, you were shocked?
Or that's excited. Cool. I'm not quite shocked.
Oh.
Because surprise is hard to register with me in a video game, but
yeah.
It was definitely a twister. It was like, oh, okay, I'm down for this. Turn down for what?
You're all about the sound references this week.
I'm usually all about the sound references.
If this was a radio show, you'd be the guy with the soundboard.
How did you know?
Just like, you'd be like pressing buttons every 2 seconds, like a toilet would flush for some reason.
Flush.
Yeah.
But.
Let's think what I've been playing. I finished the story in Halo Wars 2.
How do you like it?
I mean, it's fine. It's not bookmarked. There's not like an end, really. It's just like, it's kind of ends in the way where it's like, we won the battle, but the war.
So it ends like Halo 2.
Yes.
Okay.
But what I'm thinking is, I'm feeling like it's a very big setup that the characters introduced in this game will transition to the next main game.
Well, doesn't that take place before Halo 3?
No. Halo Wars 2 takes place after the events of Halo
5. Oh, yeah, they're going to tie it into that game. Damn it.
Yeah.
Fucking 343.
Honestly, I feel like Halo 6 is just going to be everything.
And it's going to suck, because it's 343. Most people hate EA and Activision. My hate goes towards 343 and Activision.
I can't really defend it because I understand every reason why you're not happy with it.
I mean, I wish they would actually leave, leave the Halo Wars 2 opening up for a Halo Wars 3 game. Sort of like what they did with Halo 2 and Halo 3. That would work well, don't you think?
I mean, it would. There is the possibility. Like, it's nothing confirmed. It's just, It, honestly, it's kind of what I
want
to see.
I don't want like, you to get your hopes up, the character, but...
I mean, it could be one way or the other, like... Because, for one, the main villain of Halo Wars 2 doesn't die. He's just, like... He's probably the first big brute character since Halo 2.
Well,
if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that makes sense, because... there's a brute in front of Halo Wars 2. That's why I thought it was took place in... Before Halo 3. Because that's the last time we saw the brutes, really, is Halo 3.
Yeah, well, the reason this Covenant faction are a bunch of Covenant who followed this one brute called Atriox. And he was, like, he was really ruthless. Mm-hmm. And the elites just, like, stood up to him too much. But he was so intimidating and so, like, ruthless and so powerful.
He could shit his own food out.
No, he would shit gold and then pay others to join him.
Oh, wait, so you're serious?
No. Oh. What it was is that he was a part of a clan of brutes, mm-hmm, who would get sent out, who would be the first men on the front line.
Oh, so they were like, he's a noble team of the brutes.
Yeah, he was sent out to die, basically.
Wait, hold on.
600 other brutes.
You've mentioned this before. And he just kept coming. Yeah, you have.
I think so. And he kept coming back, and so he gained a reputation. And eventually other people started believing in him.
Like Spartacus.
Yeah. And then the Covenant would just, like, get out. But I think he's one of the ones that, like, just started calling bullshit on the whole religious aspect. Like, he was one of those... He was probably like, fuck the prophets, fuck all them.
Right in their tiny, squishy, I mean, screw the religion.
But yeah, but then him and his troops, which he's got like a full army to himself, mm-hmm, like,
which makes sense.
Like it's really weird how much Covenant still exists after everything.
How much of them? How much they splinter off like that? Yeah, I mean, you tell people, hey, by the way, this has been your religion all along. Guess what? Oh, all of a sudden it's not real. Yeah, people are gonna freak out.
Yeah. But yeah, so he and his troops, they found like a halo ring and an arc.
Of course they did.
And they were fucking with that kind of thing. They were like, I think they landed on it and there was like already a UNSC settlement. So
wait,
the first thing they did,
we were trying to settle a ring?
Or maybe not on the ring, maybe there was like people watching it or something like that.
Hey guys, you see this death machine? Let's just live here.
But yeah, so like all of them get wiped out, and then just suddenly, the Spirit of Fire, the ship from Halo Wars, comes out of like stasis. Well, like basically, the ship was so far away that it was just drifting in space. The whole crew went into cryosleep.
Okay, like they're known to do.
Yep, they woke up. Because the first thing they find is that ring. And you get this really cool cutscene. Because like the three Spartans are red team. Which in this case, they're characters that I want to see in other games. Because it'd be really cool to like see Master Chief.
And
like,
are these the guys who were...
Spartans.
Are those the guys who are... What you call it? Shoot.
Well... I don't really know much of the story, but these guys are always referred to as Red Team. And then you've got to think that the Spartans that Master Chief is with are called Blue, mm-hmm, Team. So I feel like there's a connection there, even if...
Okay.
I mean, it's probably been established.
That's what I was wondering, though. Is it... Oh, wait, no. The other question, the genuine question I had, sorry. Are those the same guys from Halo Wars 1?
Yeah. It's Douglas, Alice, and Jerome.
Okay.
And they're like, you know, they're like original Spartans in like the original Mark V helmets. In the normal green, like the Halo 1 Chief look. They're pretty badass. But like, they go down and they find like this... They find like a... There is a base on the ring, so they must have tried to settle on the ring. But they find the ring and they find like...
Here.
And like, apparently this settlement... They had like an AI So they find the AI, and the AI is like saying, "We've got to get out of here now. Get me out of here, please, please, please." They're like really confused. And then bloody Atriox shows up and just like starts knocking him about. Like, if you need look up this cutscene. It's like very early on in the game. But if you ever wanted to see like the most badass brute ever, just watch him like knock him about. And like, I honest to God, like, because immediately I was like happy these three were in the game because they're the same Spartans from Halo Wars 1. I was immediately thinking, oh my god, don't kill them immediately.
I mean, they're Spartans. No, I don't care how strong a brute is, he's not going to be able to wreck them.
No. He just, he cripples one, and then one of them gets lost on the ring. But then they all regroup. Everything's... Basically, the whole game is like them fighting over for little bits of control and trying to stop him from activating the arc. Because everyone
knows what arc that's basically. I thought it was a Halo, not an arc.
There's a... I don't know. It's kind of both.
What's going on, Jamie?
Skip that part. It's definitely a Halo ring, but there's an arc involved too. I don't really get. Yeah, I was honestly kind of confused. I was like, I swear this
you're not the only one.
But at the end of the day, they stop it, and then they activate this. What they do is they get all the there's like a whole army of banished on a specific section of the ring.
Banished.
And like the scientist from the first Halo Wars game.
I have no idea what a banished is.
The banished are the Covenant in this game.
Oh, the Splinter Groups. Okay.
Yeah, but there's like a whole army of them coming, and they like manage to like coordinate them onto this one section of the ring, and then she just ejects that portion of the ring into space.
Oh, clever!
Like it just takes off into space and breaks up into tiny pieces.
The Ripley method. How clever!
Yeah, but then suddenly the ring just takes off. Like it just blinks out of existence, and then everyone's like confused, and then you see, like, the brutes. Or maybe it's the arc bit that takes off. Or something like that. Well, or part of it. Because then you see Atriox and the remainder of his forces. And it's just like... It's like they made, like, a dent, basically. They ejected, like, a portion of the Halo ring into space and broke it up in the atmosphere. And he's still got, like... Like, you see this pan of, like, a mountain. He's standing up on a mountain. There's just, like, troops everywhere. There's like troops, and then like scarab, and then more troops, and then another scarab, and more troops. It's just like Jesus.
And then a strong wind comes, and it blows over.
He stands on the top of the mountain, he raises his hammer, and then he just gets blown over the edge. He does a Homer Simpson and hits every rock on the way down.
No, all the troops are just cardboard cutouts. They all just fall over.
Everything's fake. But yeah, I think there's a thing to him, like maybe he doesn't have a ship or anything like that to move his troops off the ring. Maybe he's been... Well, I think the fact they're called banished implies that they've been put on this ring for a reason.
Yeah, or maybe they're just banished from the rest because they're still psychotic religious cults. They're still cultish, yeah. Dude.
What? Is the rest of the Covenant even religious anymore?
Probably like, not to the degree that they used to be.
I mean, what is even with the Covenant? Because Halo 5, you kill the Covenant leader in the first mission.
What? Of that splinter group?
Well, of the...
Maybe there are more.
I guess maybe the Covenant's just all splintered off now.
It's really hard to figure out. They're all gone, dude. You're not going to catch them all.
Yeah. But then... Halo Wars 2, the final thing you see is there, whatever goes off into slipspace, comes out of slipspace, the scientist walks out of the, like, temple or whatever she's in, and just looks up and she's like, I was probably safer where I was. And the camera pans up and there's just a guardian just hovering above her. Like, that's not good. Which is the only reason to me that makes me believe that there's going to be, like, a Halo 6 tie-in.
And then she dies. And they make sweet love on top of her body.
She should go die in the first 2 seconds. Like, the AI Cortana is going to, like, appear in front of her and just strangle her or something, even though she's an AI. She's going to become physical for some reason. Or maybe that'd be the twist. Maybe she'll possess that woman's body. And then Master Chief will be like, oh, Cortana, you're real.
Wasn't she already real?
What, Cortana? Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was the whole point that end there at the end. She's like, oh, I can love you now in every way. And he's like, bitch, you crazy.
No, I think it's that she's moved past... I think, like, it's because she's moved past her AI programming. I know she can also make herself appear big. Like, she can appear human-sized.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, and that looks like a physical avatar that she was summoning and desummoning.
I think it's true. She does, like, she just kind of touched him at one point.
It wasn't a good touch.
It's a good thing Chief was wearing armor.
Let me take this off.
Apparently, apparently during that cutscene, if you listen very carefully, you can hear a little ding.
No. He's full on. It's like, what the heck is going on? You've lost your brain.
Do you think inside his suit, is he just like, is it like an Iron Man thing where he gets out of his suit and he's just dressed? Or has he like got wires going into him and stuff?
I think he's got like an Under Armour sort of, like apparently he wears underneath to prevent chafing and stuff.
Okay. That makes sense. I just kind of wonder, like, could, like, gets his, like, blood press and stuff. I wonder if there's, like, a part of it that goes into him. Well, like, I know that back slot with the AI thing. Does that go into his actual head?
I think it goes into his helmet. I don't think it goes into his head. Because the Spartan 3s carried an AI around with them, and they didn't have cracks in the back of their head.
Ah. So, yeah. I guess while that Neuro implant stuff exists, I guess for Spartans you don't need it because they just stick it in your helmet instead. I guess it's just as useful. Don't want to have a Captain Keys situation.
Yeah.
It's like shit. We need the keys. They're like, we need the information for the ship. Oh, we're gonna have to punch into his skull and take it.
Not that we have a problem with that, but you know.
Poor Captain Keys. He got a rough deal. He almost became Gravemind, and then he got punched in the head.
I mean, you gotta do something, right?
And then his daughter died, and then Sergeant Johnson died. And I feel like we haven't got anyone proper in a Halo game to replace him properly.
I mean, did he need to be replaced? Maybe it's because I played Halo 1, like, after playing 2, 3, and others, but he didn't feel that important to me.
Oh, what, yeah. Johnson?
Oh, not Johnson, sorry, I thought you meant Captain Keys.
Oh, Keys. Well, Keys was replaced by his daughter.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Keys. I'm like, why does he need to be replaced?
Nah, he didn't really. I feel like in a later game I feel like Halo 1 is very much quick and easy story, more focused on the gameplay.
Yeah.
I feel like later on they start balancing out a bit more.
Yeah, because he didn't seem that important to me.
Yeah. I mean, he's a character that I still enjoy, kind of. Like, I still liked it when he showed up in Halo Reach for that moment. And that kind of thing.
For, like, 15 seconds.
But yeah, he's probably in no one's top 10 Halo characters.
Except his own.
Yeah. It's Keys, and then Keys again. And then it's his daughter, and then it's Halsey.
Halsey.
No, is it Halsey?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. They banged another.
Oh,
kid.
They did. Who's their kid?
Miranda Keys.
Oh, that was her daughter. Oh, sucks for her.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing because they don't really go into that until after she's died. Like, I think Halo Reach is when they start. They reveal that kind of thing, or in like side stories. It's a really weird connection that Keys, Miranda Keys, and Halsey were like a family, but they've never appeared in a game together or interacted on screen together.
Family might be taking a bit far when you're talking about her. Probably more like they banged. And for Halsey, that's like as close as you can get without being one of her Spartan kids.
Well, there's a reason Miranda Keyes took her father's name.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Halsey was too busy raising a bunch of kids she didn't know.
But, oh, I think she knew him pretty well.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, she was in their heads.
Well, I mean, a lot of them call her mom. That says something.
Yeah. So, it's a really weird situation, because she's in no way a good person. Like, the stuff she...
No, I wouldn't call her a morally high person.
Yeah. But, like, she was the... But then, seeing what happened to her when, like, she was... Like, if it was pinned on her, even though she was doing it under the authority of the military.
I mean, she's not a good person. She asked to be able to do that.
But then she got screwed up.
But the thing is, they also agreed to do it.
Yeah.
So, they should be sharing that blame. Oh, well.
Yeah, man.
Halo 5 sucked anyway.
They need to just stop. I'll say... I don't remember. Who said... I don't remember that. I haven't played that game in a while.
Neither have I. I took out my console, which is unfortunate. Because I had a bunch of really good game types and map ideas I wanted to do in Halo. Oh, yeah. But Halo 5 just wasn't fun. No one else had fun. So why do it?
Yeah, it really didn't pick up with Halo. Like, Halo 4 in itself still wasn't great.
But the multiplayer, I'd say, was more fun in Halo 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it worked.
It worked better in 4.
Yeah, I kind of hope Halo 6 is a game that works a bit more for Team DeBar, just because Halo is a fun game to play with.
When it works. But I had some interesting... One of my ideas I wanted to do was infection game type, which Halo 5 had infection for years, so fuck it. Infection game type in a labyrinth with red mist.
Oh, it does, yeah.
And...
Okay.
You had to... everyone had a shotgun except for the infected, who looked like a minotaur and had a sword.
Hopefully Halo 6 ups its game a bit.
Hopefully.
You can incorporate some of your ideas there. Hopefully they give, hopefully in Halo 6, Halsey has a robot arm.
Maybe. But,
but it's really heavy, so she can't move.
But we won't find out this podcast, and you know what else we should be letting the people get back to what they're doing?
Yep. Go back to playing Breath of the Wild, Persona 5.
Dark Souls.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, and thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you again next season. Good night, everyone.
Good night.